We have heard that among the worst things in the spiritual life, planning, that is deception, takes the lead. And I've mentioned to many of you many times before that we come across different situations in our lives, either as monastics or as Christians, that will either help us to grow spiritually or will cause us to fall back. And we use the phrase, it will make you or it will break you, because this is exactly what it does. When we are confronted with the temptations and we overcome them, we become stronger. If we do what it is that we need to do. But how can we if we have fallen into some type of deception, into the delusion, which pulls us away from our master? Last week we heard concerning the visitation of the Lord. He passed by the way, and the blind man said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, once he heard that it was our Lord passing by. And they tried to get him to be quiet because he was making too much noise. And all the more did he cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the lesson we got from that was that we must absolutely persist in prayer. Even when you think that it's of no use, simply because of our own impatience, God will see the diligence and the persistence of the person praying, asking for something which is unto salvation, and our Lord will grant it, because our Lord is not a liar. He's the one that said, ask and you shall receive. He's the one that tells us the very hairs of your head are counted. He knows every single detail about us, all of us, at the same time. He knows what we were, he knows what we are, and he knows what we will become. He knows what the final result will be for us also, whether we will be saved or whether we will be damned. And he tries to instill in our hearts divine, illuminating thoughts to help us along the way. But there are many people that reject him. And in fact, there are many people at the visitation of the Lord who become quite irritated with his presence. Because, as we've said many times, people hear things, for example, the Holy Scriptures or the writings of the Fathers, and sometimes they put them through their own microscopic, what I like to call, pridometer. Because our thinking is so distorted that we interpret things according to whatever it is that we like to interpret things, because we don't want to face the reality of things, either because we're lazy or because our passions are too deep in us. We don't want to face them because of envy, because of malice, because of anger, because of jealousy. And when an unrighteous person sees a righteous person, he's afflicted by his presence. He tries to find ways to justify why the unrighteous person, why he is right, and the righteous person is wrong. And this is what happens now in the case of those who rejected our Savior. For at the visitation of our Lord, there were those who called upon him, who screamed out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And because of their persistence and because of their heartfelt prayer, our Lord visited them. But the Jews, who did not accept our Savior, were deceived. And they were not happy that our Lord had such influence among the people. It was something that very much bothered them, because they did not accept him, because they did not like their consciences to be censured, and they did not like his preaching. And he did not go through them to receive their permission to preach. How is it that those were ready to accept him and the others were not? The Holy Fathers teach us that we have five senses, both of body and soul, and that we need to be able to cleanse ourselves only by means of repentance, by means of accepting the afflictions that come upon us. And along the way, there will be slips and there will be falls, there will be casualties, there will be problems, But as long as the person persists and says, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, if he persists, God will see his persistence. If he gives up, the situation becomes demonic. To fall is human, to remain fallen is demonic. And the longer a person remains fallen, the more authority he gives to the demons over him. So that it's much more difficult to pluck out and to pull out the deep passions that we have in us, or even to recognize them, which is an even worse malady. Because if you cannot recognize the sickness, how will you be healed? So for this reason, we must know ourselves. And to know ourselves means to be humble, because if a person knows himself, he will be humble. But here we're dealing with the rejection, those who rejected Jesus Christ because of their pride, because things went through their pridometer, because they interpreted things the way that they wanted to interpret things, because they read the law and they did not understand the spirit of the law. And so because of this, they had fallen away from our Savior. So we are now visiting our Lord. This is why we are here. We are in church, and our Lord is talking to us, and he's trying to get our attention. And he speaks to us through the Holy Gospel, and he speaks to us through the services of the church. And we will either accept him or we will reject him. It's nobody else's fault if we lose all these good things except our own, because we've been given the chance to accept him. But what is deception? A person becomes so engrossed in himself, a person that lives a certain life which is not in accordance with God, a person wants to have, let's say, fun. A person wants to live his life, and he's forgotten about God. He's forgotten that our Lord is the one who gives him everything, and that his very breath and his very life depends on God. Therefore, how can we not thank him, the giver of life, who has given us everything that is necessary? And in the midst of all these gifts, he gives us the most important gift of trying to speak to us, to speak to our hearts, conveying the messages of salvation. So with this persistence, the blind man was healed. The blind man who cried out in the gospel reading that we heard last week, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, who absolutely persisted in prayer and did not give up. And now we have another scene in today's gospel reading where our Lord is preaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And there's a woman who was bent over. She was Singiptusa for 18 years. And our Lord healed her right in front of everybody at that particular moment. And the authorities, the Jewish authorities, did not like what our Lord did. Now, any normal, rational person would think, well, he just worked a huge miracle. Why and how could this bother you? Well, they brought up the law without recognizing the spirit of the law. And there really was no connection. But they said that on the Sabbath day, one can work, one cannot work, and one should not work. And so what Jesus Christ is doing is work, since he's working a miracle. You see how distorted the thinking is. This distortion and this type of thinking, believe it or not, is a problem among society. In our society, people get distorted thoughts. And it's because they're not looking for the light, for illumination, to understand things as they should. And so these people were in delusion. They read the law, and they thought very highly of themselves because they knew the law, but they really did not understand the spirit of the law, so much so that they did not recognize God at his visitation. They were screaming out, "The Messiah will come, the Messiah will come." And when the Messiah came, they rejected him. they wanted him to move out of the way. The blindness is beyond our comprehension. Since the devil from the beginning has been deceiving man, and he started with the apple, he deceived Adam by telling him, if you partake of this apple, you will have the knowledge of good and evil, and you will be like God. And as we've said many times, he already was like God. He was made in the image and likeness of God. But he was fooled, and he partook of the apple, and the image and likeness of God, which was in him then, became distorted. And we're trying to work now to get back to the ancient image, the ancient beauty. And there are many different levels of delusion. There's the delusion of just what we heard about the devil trying to speak into people's ears and tell them that something which is actually really bad for them is actually really good for them. There are the delusions of those who think that they speak to God. There are many types of delusions. Yesterday we heard in the life of Saint Parthenius of Chios, who reposed in the early 1900s, how there was a monk who was deceived. He got upset with his elder because he was corrected. He didn't want to be corrected. And so he left. He took off the black. And Saint Parthenius prayed and prayed, and he went to him and he pulled him out of his error, and he put all the blame on himself because that was the only way that you could speak to this person. He was not ready to hear anything else. And in this particular case, he responded, and God's grace touched his heart. But there are plenty of other examples of saints approaching people and being rejected, like our very Lord himself. Saint Anthony the Great himself had a disciple who fell away. And how do they fall away? They fall into delusion. One becomes a heretic, another denies our Lord, another believes that he is a God-bearer, and so on and so forth. There was the example of the spiritual father, Papa Savas, from Mount Athos, who had a disciple, who was a deacon, and he was speaking to his guardian angel, or so he thought, for about 3 years. So he went to his Yeronda one day and he said, Yeronda, please pray for my mother because she's reposed. And he said, well, when did she repose? And the deacon said, well, it happened yesterday. And he says, well, how did you find out so fast? We're in Mount Athos, we don't have a telephone. He says, well, my guardian angel told me. And he said, your guardian angel? Why didn't you tell me this before? Why didn't you tell me that you see your guardian angel? Yes, we've been speaking to each other now for 3 years. And why is it that you didn't tell me? Well, he told me it wasn't necessary. Of course, the demons tell you, you don't need to tell your thoughts. And you don't need to, if you're not going to tell your thoughts, you're not going to talk about occasions like this, certainly. So the elder knew that this was not going to be an easy case, since this deacon gave in for 3 years. As we said, the longer our fall lasts, the more deeper it is, and it takes more work to uproot the problem. So they tested the spirits, as St. Paul says, test the spirits. Finally, he said, okay, I have a plan. I'm going to have a thought, and I want you to ask your guardian angel what I'm thinking, because the angels know the thoughts, but the demons don't. The demons can sow thoughts, but they're not able to read our thoughts. They can see our reactions, they can understand things since they are very clever, but they are not able to know our thoughts. So ask him that. So the next night, when he saw his guardian angel, he asked him, what is my elder thinking? And the guardian angel started presenting himself in a righteous way, of course, And he said, are you questioning me? This is lack of faith. You shouldn't be doing this. But he persisted, since he did have enough faith in his elder. And he persisted and he said, no, I want you to tell me, because that's part of spiritual law. I was given an obedience, and I'm fulfilling my obedience, and my elder told me to persist in asking you. Finally, the angel changed his form and appeared as he was, the spirit of darkness. And he threatened him and he said, at such and such a time, I will be back at this time, tomorrow, I think it was the next day, to take your soul to hell. And of course he was terrified, so he ran to his elder and he fell on his knees and he says, you were right, please forgive me, a sinner. But he wouldn't leave his side. He was terrified. And exactly at that hour, when the demon said we were going to come to take your soul, there truly was a whole scene. And the monk was comforted by the presence of his elder, and he pulled on to him. And when the scene started, and his elder fell on his knees, and he prayed, and so the monk was delivered. But it took some time, like St. Isaacus of the Kiev Caves, who also fell into delusion. And he was told, he was given an obedience, don't pray. Because he was so proud and he was so full of himself. And his response was, you wretch, you're going to stop me from praying. There's another example of Father Spiridon, who also would see his guardian angel. And finally his guardian angel told him, let's go up to the summit of Mount Athos so that you can receive grace. And it was winter. And it was freezing. And he fell into the trap. So he walked up. It took him 3 hours. And he would get tired and the angel would say, come on, come on, you can do it. You have to struggle for the good things of heaven. See the deception. Finally, when he got to the top, he saw a whole myriad of angels and saints passing by, and he saw his own patron saint, Saint Spiridon. But by God's dispensation, he saw that Saint Spiridon looked a little different. He had a hat which was way too high, almost seemed like the form of horns. And at that moment, he made the sign of the cross, and he said, Kyrie eleison, Saint Spiridon doesn't look like that. And when he made the sign of the cross and said, Kyrie eleison, everything vanished. And he was left on the summit of Mount Athos in his delusion, ready to fall into despair in the freezing cold, all alone, because he was deluded, because he did not confess his thoughts, and he did not tell his Yeranda what was going on. So finally, the 3 hour trek which he took upwards on the way down became 12 hours. Finally, he got back home. He arrived at his keli and he found his spiritual father on his knees praying with tears for the lost sheep. And thanks to his elder's prayers, he was delivered from the situation. So we should never really put hope in ourselves, and we should understand the danger of how things are interpreted in our mind according to our fallen state. We always have to ask God for illumination and enlightenment. We have to be careful of spiritual pride, because that is the worst enemy. Many people have fallen away because they did not understand the essence and the purpose of the ascetical practices. The ascetical practices were fruits of repentance. They were seen as fruits of repentance. They were not things that would puff up pride. We don't do a trimeron, or we don't do many prostrations, and then at the end of it say, oh, I feel so good. I pat myself on the back and I did a good thing. As Christians, we should understand that these things are fruits of repentance. And if we see them as fruits of repentance, and if we take them as shield and weapons, as we heard in the epistle reading today, by using them for repentance and calling upon the grace and mercy of God, then we understand the essence. And then at the visitation of our Lord, we will recognize him. But this is the very reason why those Jewish leaders did not recognize him, because their hearts were not right with God. For their hearts not to be right with God means that they didn't use those spiritual weapons the way that they should have. They did not cleanse the inside. And this is why our Lord said to them, outwardly you appear beautiful before men, but inwardly ye are dead men's bones, whited sepulchres, but inside ye are dead. So these are the messages that we need to take heed and pay attention to, so that we can have the spiritual senses and ability to detect our Lord at his visitation and to accept him, and not to fall into the fearful delusion of rejecting our Lord when right before our very eyes he's working his marvels, as the leaders of the synagogue did in today's gospel reading. And our Lord called them hypocrites. And he gave a very, very simple example. If somebody's animal falls into a ditch, will you not pull him out on the Sabbath day? But the main concern of our Lord in working his miracles was to heal these people spiritually. So let us now be healed spiritually. We are in the presence of the angels of God when we are in church, especially at the Divine Liturgy, and in the presence of the saints and the Mother of God and our Lord himself. The visitation of the Lord is now. But let us take heed and let us open our hearts to his messages. And if we need to condemn ourselves for sin which we have committed, whether in word or in deed or in thought, which we all have fallen into, we must take this opportunity to pray so that our Lord will make us his servants. And if we know what's best for us, we will know, and we remind ourselves over and over, that the time will pass and the only thing that will remain are those things which we have prepared for the next life. Here, we cannot take anything with us into the next life, whether it's homes or cars or whatever possession it may be. But those good things which we gather for the sake of our salvation will help us along the way. Let us not underestimate the power of the cross, of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is a weapon, and they are weapons against the demons, and the help which we receive from the Most Holy Mother and the saints of God. For the saints live unto the ages, and those of us who pray to them with sincerity will see them and come to know them with the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our soul, and our faith will grow, and we must ask them to make our faith grow, and they will certainly be our helpers along the way of our salvation. May our Lord grant us illumination and deliver us from all the different deceptions and delusions which the devil puts in front of us, through the prayers of his Most Holy Mother and of all the saints. Amen.